The Voices Dot Earth podcast series is brought to you by the Dot Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing Dot Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices Dot Earth podcast interview, we're speaking with Charlotte Bonner, director of SOS International, which is an organization that empowers networks and organizations working on sustainability in and beyond education. SOS International also has the website SOS.earth. And Charlotte, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you, Matthew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. And let's start at the top. Tell us more about SOS International, the organization's history, mission, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so SOS International has been in existence since about 2014, when student groups working on sustainability, primarily in Europe initially, recognised that they'd be able to move their work further and faster if they were cooperating across borders. Because, of course, sustainability and social justice issues aren't nation-specific, they are global issues. So we need to work globally to solve those challenges that we're facing and to progress towards a more sustainable and just future. So initially, SOS was an informal network of student groups. We grew very quickly from initial conversations in Europe. We soon went to have members across all six continents, made up of really passionate, really incredible, really inspirational student groups that were affecting change, either locally in their campus or in their town and community, or nationally, or in some cases internationally too. And it was about a year and a half ago that we decided that we needed to formalise as an organisation so that we could better resource the capacity building elements that we wanted to do for our members, but also so that we could do some like really boring logistical things like have a bank account. So we set up SOS.earth at that time of formalisation. So we're now working as a membership organisation for various different groups internationally with that same purpose, but now with a slightly more professional and well-resourced face.
Well, that's great. You know, it's in many ways, like the face kind of came after the fact, because I know you've won some awards in 2015, and we'll talk about that. Before we talk about the UNESCO awards, tell us more about your programs, like the Green Office and Green Impact program.
Yeah, so basically for SOS membership, we don't want student groups' money, we want their action. So to be a member of SOS, we ask that our members do at least one of four things. And that's either contributing to data and research, so we have a really robust data set on students' attitudes towards sustainability. We ask that they deliver a campaign or a program for SOS's portfolio, or indeed bring a new campaign or program to that portfolio. Because what we recognise is that lots of student groups are facing similar challenges, and we want to scale up and replicate tried and tested programs so that organisations don't need to start from zero, don't need to go up that same learning curve. So the program portfolio is a key part of SOS's identity. The fourth thing that we want people to do is to help add capacity to SOS members or SOS itself. But in terms of the programs, we've got a great range of, like I say, tried and tested programs. The Green Office movement was set up by a group of students in Maastricht University in the Netherlands who really saw the need on their campus for more engagement with students on sustainability issues, and really looked to operationalize that. So how could students play a leading role in shaping and acting out the sustainability strategy of their university? So they set up a student-led but staff-supported Green Office that was funded by the university almost as a department, almost as a different kind of office within their structure, but where students could really direct and further the sustainability agenda on their campus. And it just took off. And once Maastricht was established, other student groups started to hear about this. They wanted to find out how to replicate that model. And so the Green Office movement came off the back of that first Green Office in Maastricht. And the students that set up in Maastricht set up an organization to then help other student groups set up Green Offices in their countries. And we've now got Green Offices in, well, very widespread across Europe, but in Costa Rica, in Uganda, and the model's really, really taken off. And UNESCO recognised that as a global laureate, so one of, I think, just six at the time, global laureates for education for sustainable development in 2015. They're recognising the work of the Green Office movement and the impact and value that has for students, but also for their campuses and their communities too.
Outstanding. You know, I'm going to go off the script a little bit here and probably state the obvious, but based on the momentum you've achieved with your programs, Is it obvious to say that young people and students are much more sustainable, green aware than they were in the past? They seem to really be embracing it, which I hope, because that's a great thing, because that gives me hope for the future of our planet.
I think there is an absolute groundswell in young people's passion for sustainability and particularly climate action at the moment. I think the climate crisis is fast approaching. We're already in it. And young people really see the urgency and the need for quite transformational action in a way that isn't currently being reflected in a lot of policy and governmental kind of activity. So I think, you know, you've seen the rise of school strikes movement. We've seen Greta Thunberg become an international face of this movement. But students at a campus level are absolutely mobilizing and organizing and affecting change on a day-to-day basis too. And our research shows that upward of 80% of students consistently expect sustainability to be part of their education. They expect their institutions to be working in a sustainable fashion in line with the sustainable development goals. And yet that isn't what we see in reality. So I think we've got quite a strong mandate to continue to further this agenda and make sure that young people's voices are at the table when their futures are being discussed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's shift and tell us more about the UNESCO, I think it's a Japan Prize on Education for Sustainable Development. Now, you won that in 2015, right? For both Green Office and Green Impact.
Well, right? Green Office won it in 2015 and Green Impact 2016. Green Impact, primarily a staff engagement program. So students were consistently telling us that one of the reasons they didn't act sustainably when they were on campus was because they couldn't see anybody else doing that too. So we really recognized to create that social norm of sustainability, we needed to get staff on board too. So Green Impact is a way to engage staff on university campuses, on college campuses, but now in all sorts of other organisations, businesses, public sector organisations, charities, to do their bit for the sustainability agenda, but also trains and empowers students to be part of that change, acting as mentors, verifiers. So there's a really strong student leadership element to the programme, as well as getting staff to really embed sustainability in their day-to-day actions. And that was rewarded in 2016. So yeah, we had 2015 for the Green Office Movement, 2016 for Green Impact. So that's two prizes that UNESCO have recognised our members as achieving. And it's really transformational in terms of the kudos that then gives those organisations, because there is, in some cases, still quite a cautious or negative opinion of students in some communities. So that kind of recognition really adds some legitimacy to their work and has really helped us grow and scale up those programmes, and in turn, SOS International too.
Awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations on both of those awards. That's really a big deal right there. That's amazing, especially for a young organization like yourself. Like you said, you fairly recently put the face on the organization with the website and more of the operational side of things. And speaking of the face, you know, your website is SOS.earth. Why did you all choose to use the .earth domain name?
I think it's very much in line with what we're trying to achieve as an organization. We do our work not just for the earth, we do it for kind of people and planet, as well as, you know, really recognizing that the sustainability agenda isn't just about the trees, it's about our biosphere, but also the people that live in that biosphere and our interactions with our environment and with each other. So I think having a .earth domain name really helps showcase that's important to us and that's part of who we are and what we're working towards.
That's great. So what does the future hold for SOS International? What's your vision there?
Well, our vision, I suppose, is to ensure that all students, regardless of their discipline, regardless of what type of learning institution they go to, leave their education with the skills and the knowledge and the attributes and the values and the passion to really be part of a sustainable and just future. And to achieve that, we need to empower networks and organisations working in and beyond education to really take this agenda seriously and embed it in their activities and in their decision making. In terms of our short-term goals, what we're looking at is, as we've moved from an informal organisation to a formal one, just enhancing our membership, making sure that those members that are taking on delivery of our programmes are doing so with a lot of support, building the capacity of our members to enable them to be as absolutely impactful as they can be. And of course, you know, the struggles that any sort of charity faces. So we're always looking at fundraising and partnerships and who can come and join us in our work so that we can really move further and faster.
That's great. You know, Charlotte, we really appreciate your time today, and what a fascinating organization that you have here. And congrats again on the momentum that you've achieved in a relatively short amount of time. And Yeah. And before we sign off today, is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
I suppose just that if you know of a student who's studying, talk to them about sustainability and what it means to their course. If you are a student, ask about at your school or your college or your campus and find out who else is interested and what's going on. And if you are a student group or a student organisation or you work with students in the sustainability field, then do. We have a very much an open door and we'd love to hear from you and see how we can collaborate, because if we're not working together, we are not going to get what we need to get done quick enough. There's an open door at sos.us.
That's awesome. What a perfect way to end this interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast with Charlotte Bonner, director of SOS International, which is an organization that empowers networks and organizations working on sustainability in and beyond education. And Charlotte, thank you so much for your time today.
You're more than welcome. Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .Earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.Earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .Earth domains. Through Voices.Earth, you can also secure your own .Earth domain name through all major registrars.